tonight, as we carry on in our journey, passage by passage, we are up to chapter 44, where we have another great reminder from the Lord about His kindness toward His children. Isaiah 44, beginning in verse 19 this evening. The Bible says, "And none considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire, yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof, and I have roasted flesh and eaten it, and shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stalk of a tree? He feedeth on ashes, a deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, Is there not a lie in my right hand? Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel." So I've entitled the message, "I've Blotted Out Thy Sins." Heavenly Father, use your word in our hearts this evening. Thank you for the privilege to be here, to assemble in the name of our Savior, to open your word. We pray the Holy Ghost will now take it and use it in an amazing way in each of our lives. We pray that you'll be glorified and lifted up, and you would guide everything that's said and done now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, again, God mixes a warning and a rebuke with a reminder of His love and blessings upon His children. And how is it so true for us as Christians as well that God has done so much for us, and yet we still stumble and fall and make mistakes? God loves us despite who we are and all that we've done. And it's the same with Israel. When God chose Israel, they were nothing. He chose one man and said, "I'm going to make a nation of you, and someday there will be a multitude as the sand of the sea, the stars of heaven." And they have been His people ever since. Not because they were better or more special, but because God chose them. And it's the same with you and I. We are God's children, not because we're better than anyone else, or we deserve it, or because we're special, but because we trusted Christ, because He chose us and gave us sonship, gave us the privilege to be one of His children. And so He reminds them there in verse 19 that they're continuing to worship false gods. He finishes that verse by saying, "Shall I fall down to the stalk of a tree? Should I worship wood? Or should I worship God?" And like we saw last week, where God said, "I am the only God. There is no other God but me." We saw it earlier in the chapter. So after reminding them that there is no other God, they need to stop worshiping false gods, He then stops and takes some time to remind them how good He is to them. And folks, God is good to His children. And our lives need to be a reflection of that. Notice some of the things that He says, and remember, these promises, they're true for us as well, because we are God's children. Now, we're not Israel, but we are God's children. Notice He says in verse 21, "Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee, thou art my servant, O Israel." We're God's servants because He chose us. Because God cared enough about us to send the Holy Ghost to convict our heart with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we chose to trust Jesus Christ. But God made us His servant. And by the way, in an earthly sense, that's kind of a negative or derogatory thing. But in a scriptural sense, it's actually a compliment for God to refer to us as His servant. Moses was referred to as God's servant many times. So we are God's servant, and notice He says, "Thou shalt not be forgotten of me." Isn't that a blessing? Now that one verse is enough to show us that God will never be finished with Israel. But remember, when we did our study in Sunday school, there were literally hundreds of verses that said God will never be finished with Israel. He will never forget Israel. He made so many promises in the Old Testament. First, they have to go through the trial of Daniel's 70th week, but then they get their kingdom, which we get to take part in. And they get their land, and they get their Messiah that they've been waiting for. The kingdom that they've been waiting for centuries, they will receive. They will not be forgotten. But folks, the day we got saved, God said the same to us. Let's look at John chapter 6 and see that. God will never, ever forget us. And aren't we so blessed to be able to say that? That the Lord will never forget us. If we have trusted Him, if we become part of His family, one of His children, notice John chapter 6, Jesus says in verse 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." He will never, ever forget us. Now, is that because we're perfect and we never make a mistake? No. It's because that's in His nature. We are safe and secure in Christ because of God, not because we deserve to be safe and secure in Christ. Remember that. He will never forget us. You know, so many promises in the New Testament along these lines. "He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ," there in Philippians. Paul said, "I know whom I believe. I'm persuaded that what I've committed unto him he will keep unto that great day." In that 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we could go on and on, but the Bible makes it very clear that we are secure, we are safe. Jesus said, "All the Father comes to me, and I will in no wise cast out," here in John 6:37. Of course, in John chapter 10, he tells us, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Never. We are safe because God will never forget us. But just to drive the point home, he says, "I will not only forget you," but he says in verse 22, "I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions." Now, this is hard for us to completely understand. That God loved us enough to not only forgive us, and forgiving is one thing, but as he says he will never forget us, the Bible says he does forget our sins. Isn't that amazing? Now, God has a supernatural perfect forgetter, which unfortunately we don't have. You know, when somebody wrongs us, we can forgive them, but no matter how hard we try, we can't blot the memory out. We can't forget. God forgets. God blots them out as if they never occurred. That is amazing. And God does this because it's God. Again, we don't deserve this. But he says, "I blotted out thy transgressions, and as a thick cloud, thy sins." They're gone. They're blotted out. Now, there's a lot of scriptures that reinforce this. I'd like us to look at a few. Look at Psalm 103, verse 12, if you would. But I want us, if we walk away with anything tonight, I want us to be reminded that our sins are gone. They're not just forgiven, they are gone. And that is something to rejoice in. That they can never be brought up again. We aren't going to get to the judgment seat. The devil's not going to stand there and say, "Aha, that person did so and so." It's gone. It's blotted out. Notice Psalm 103:12. "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Now, we can't walk on water, but if we could, and we could get on the equator and start heading east, we could do it for the rest of time. Because as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. They're gone. Now look at Isaiah 38:17. We'll look at another one. Isaiah 38:17. We're talking tonight about what he's done with our sins. That he's blotted them out. They're as far as the east is from the west. Isaiah 38:17. "Behold, the peace, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." They're gone. They're blotted out. They are as far as the east is from the west. They're behind his back. Micah 7:19. One more in the Old Testament, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. So right after the book of Jonah is the book of Micah. And chapter 7, verse 19. The Bible says, He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Now, God gave us all of these just to show us that they're gone. They are gone. This is another reason why we know we can never question whether or not we're secure. Because if God has blotted out our sins, if God has cast them behind His back, cast them into the depths of the sea, they're far as the east is from the west, how then can we lose our salvation? Which sin would cause us to lose our salvation? I've heard people say, oh, the unpardonable sin or the sin of denying Christ. Or what? That was blotted out too. They're all blotted out. They're gone. So there is no sin that can be dredged back up to say, oh, that's it, you're going to hell now. No, they're gone. Two more scriptures. Look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. I just want us to get this great truth tonight. Should make us want to skip our way home, that our sins are gone. Colossians 2, 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you, let's say, all. If you have permission from yourself to write in your Bible, it might not hurt to circle or underline that word all. I know some of you don't give yourself that permission. That's okay. But it says all. Folks, all means all. If you want to look at the Greek, you're welcome to go ahead. It means all. That's all of our sins. Now let's make sure we understand what that means. That means if you get saved and 50 years later, you're still alive, and you commit a sin, that sin was forgiven and covered and blotted out and cast behind God's back 50 years prior. Think about that. That's hard for us to understand. And making it even more difficult, if the Lord tarries, let's say He's going to come in 10 years. And in 9 years, we're going to commit a sin. It's gone. We haven't even committed it yet, and it's gone. Think about that. I have forgiven you all trespasses. Now, understand, it might still affect our fellowship with our Heavenly Father. But in relation to our worthiness for heaven, our worthiness to enter heaven, which is a holy and perfect place where sin is not allowed, we are fully justified. Every sin is gone. And it will never be brought up to judge us again. He has forgiven us all trespasses. Now look at Hebrews 8. Look at just one more in the New Testament. Hebrews 8 and verse 12. Now, God has made this so clear in the Old Testament and the New. And He's telling His children, I will not forget you. Your sins are gone. Notice Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. You know, I said earlier that God has this perfect forgetter. There it is. I will not remember thy sins, He said. So back to our passage, Isaiah 44, He says in verse 21, I will not forget you. He says in verse 22, I have blotted out your sins. And He says in verse 22 as well, I have redeemed thee. And we talked a little bit about this morning. We were in Revelation chapter 5. But God bought us back from the devil, back from sin with the blood of Jesus Christ. It's called redemption, to redeem something, to buy it back. God did that for every one of us that's born again. But did you notice that little word there in verse 22, return? That's why I left it up here. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. He's saying to Israel, You're my child. I've done all this for you, not because of you, but because of me. This is God speaking. But despite me doing all these things for you, you have drifted away from me. You've been worshiping wood. You've been sinning against me. I want you to remember all that I've done for you, and I'm asking you to come back, to return. That's what he says. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Go to Isaiah 55, please. Just a couple chapters over, where we're constantly reminded that God, who has done everything for us, is always waiting for us to return. Isaiah 55, notice verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. So this can't be talking to an unsaved person. An unsaved person can't return unto the Lord. He wasn't with the Lord in the first place. This is talking about a backslidden child of God, where God says, let him return unto the Lord. And look what God says. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So the God who has done everything for us, the God who has redeemed us, the God who has blotted out our sins, the God who promises that he will never forget us, says, return. And if you'll return, what will I do? Abundantly pardon. Again, that is not talking about whether or not we go to heaven or hell. That's talking about restoring the fellowship with our Heavenly Father. 1 John chapter 1 was written to Christians. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God loves us so much that he was willing to do all this for us. And he says, please come back to where you used to be. Go, if you would, to 1 John 3, where God talks about the manifestation of his love. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, he says, hereby perceive we the love of God. So we can perceive it. We can see it. We can find it. Here's the love of God, he says. We can perceive it because he laid down his life for us. So God makes it so clear. We can see it because of what he's done for us. You know, how many times do we hear the world say, oh, loving God wouldn't... You can just finish that sentence 100 ways. But we know that he is a loving God because look what he's done for us. He died for us. He rose again for us. He blotted out our sins. He's redeemed us. He will never forget us. He says, I'm going to do all this for you because of who I am. All you got to do is ask, because it's a gift. And so we've trusted him. He's done all these things for us. What does he say? Return. Back to our passage, verse 23, the last verse. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Hath done what? Redeemed man. This ties in with what we looked at in Revelation 5 this morning. The heavens are going to be singing around the throne of God, hundreds, thousands of thousands, 10,000s times 10,000s, as we saw in Revelation 5, are going to be around the throne of God, what? Praising the Lord, saying, worthy is the Lamb. Because, as we read, what he's done for us. We're going to praise him for eternity for what he's done for us. God says, sing, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains of the forest, and every tree in. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. So the redemption we can claim. We've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. We know that from Scripture, Ephesians 1, 7, Colossians 2, and so forth. But God glorified himself in Israel. He's already done it. Do you know that God gets glory just by the fact that Israel exists? you think about it. They're the most hated nation on earth, by the way. That's a fact. Why? Because the devil hates them. Because they're God's children, God's chosen nation. But they're still here. And you think the devil hasn't tried to wipe them out through Hitler and Nero, and we could go on and on? They're still here. And they still recognize themselves as Jews, as Israelites of the Old Testament. They're still here. You can not say that about many, many different cultures. They're gone. There's none left. All those ones that they displaced when they went into the Promised Land. Has anybody ever met a Perizzite or a Jebusite or an Amorite or a Canaanite? Where are they? But we've probably all met an Israelite. How's that possible? Because God glorifies Himself in the existence of Israel. The fact that they exist brings God glory because it shows His Word is true. And that something that He said back in Genesis chapter 12, over 4,000 years ago, is still true. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And we can still see that in history. They're still here. They get glory. When Jesus comes back to the clouds, there's going to be more glory given to God because there's going to be this group of people called the church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. And as one, they will be joined with Jesus in the clouds. And the Bible says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. God's going to get so much glory at that moment. Just before the world goes into chaos. But God gets glory through His people, through the existence of His people, because He's the one that made it possible. So what a blessing that our God loves us so much that He not only forgave us our sins, but that He blotted them out and says He will never forget us, that His redemption is eternal, and that one day we will see Him. And when we do, it'll be forever. Amen? Praise God for His kindness and goodness. So just remember, tell others, if you'll trust Jesus Christ, your sins are gone.